We're talking today with Jim Robb of the Livestock Market Information Center. Jim, we've got 2016 in the books. Your overall thoughts about how that the overall year treated our beef cattle segment of the industry?
I would put 2016 kind of in the disappointing category. Prices eroded and fell more quickly than anticipated. We really hit some real lows back in the fourth quarter of 2016. We had more beef production coming online than we thought there was, and more pork production. Took a while for the markets to adapt to that, and you know, by the end of 2016, we kind of got the markets back on a firmer footing. Still, year-to-year decreases in cattle prices were anticipated, but not to the extent that they fell. We have to remember that in 2016 was the first year since 2010, Ron, that we had a year-over-year increase in U.S. beef production. So we're swimming upstream now, in a sense, and we have been for a couple years, where prior we were, you know, had smaller supplies keeping us looking ahead and being positive on the price front, and we've really flipped that corner. But there were some positives in 2016, too.
You know, as far as those positives are concerned, what really sticks out in your mind?
Well, I think two things. First of all, you know, the second half of 2015 into 2016, we really struggled on the export front, and the imports of beef were still very large. This drought in Australia now seems to be behind us, and we did regain some ground on the export side and regain some market share, and also those imports continue to drop as anticipated, but maybe a little bit more than anticipated. So that international trade front actually had a better second half of 2016. And I think really how we rebounded out of the depths of those really weak prices did show that the retail marketplace started to pick up, featuring of beef and all that. It takes several weeks to get all that lined up. And again, we had really large pork supplies and chicken supplies. And in that context, I think domestic beef demand held up rather well. We had some year-to-year declines, but pretty normal given the amount of pork and chicken and those very low prices. So, you know, it's hard to find a lot of bright spots, but I think there were some.
Seemed like one of the things that we really saw happen throughout most of the year, the marketings were fairly aggressive. Seems like we stayed ahead of, you know, pulled cattle ahead enough that we really didn't get behind and pile up those huge huge weights and on our carcasses and all of that.
Absolutely. We returned to much more more normal marketing rates. In fact, they were probably a little bit ahead of normal. So in contrast to 2015, where it really became rather clear late in the year what was really pressuring prices, it was a little harder to discover this year. But again, those marketing rates, we did a much better job of marketing cattle through feed yards. And in a sense, you know, all of a sudden now the feeder cattle market profile is not one. We didn't give the incentives to hold cattle, and that worked out probably to our benefit, as we saw in the nice price rally in the cattle markets that happened in December.
With all the talk over the last couple of years about rebuilding our beef cow herd, how do you think we did in 2016? I know that, you know, obviously we will get actual numbers at the end of this month, but what do you think we may be seeing on that?
Well, I think the beef cow herd, the mechanisms were already set in motion. The heifer holdback is really what we're building on now. Second half of 16, we did start to see some increase in heifer and cow slaughter, but not enough to get us back to stabilizing the industry. So I would suggest on January 1, 2017, that we'll have 2.5%, maybe 3% more cattle than a year ago, probably more towards that 2.5%. Smaller last year was 3.5%. But as we get further into 2017, these transitions are already in place. Cow slaughter is up. Heifer slaughter is starting to increase rather dramatically. So we're making that transition. We just have to work through that process in 2017. So come January 1, 2018, we ought to see some real rather stable beef cow herd numbers starting to emerge.
How big of a beef cow herd do we need, you think?
Well, I think that's a very important question and one that's a moving target. It's largely a function, given the growing demand is really in the export markets, of how well we can do in the export markets is how much we will grow the herd. I think we will have some liquidation of the herd probably after in 2018. But the level that we need to pull back is really going to be determined by how robust an export market we have in the beef complex.
in your mind, as we set the table for 2017, Jim, what are some of the factors you're really going to be paying the most attention to?
We see a year-over-year increase in beef production. We have it up nearly 4% year-over-year in 2017, much of that coming from increased heifer and cow slaughter, but also steer slaughter up year-over-year with a larger calf crop. So we've got more beef ahead of us. We're going to have more pork and chicken also. So we're going to be looking at that demand profile. But we went through many weeks in late 2015 where we had more than 7%, some weeks more than 10% year-over-year increase in output. So we're probably not going to see that again. So we're looking at lower prices, bigger beef production, but it doesn't appear at this point that we would have another 30% decline in calf and yearling prices ahead here, that most of that seems to be behind us. Now, prices are much lower than a few years ago, and we need to manage for that and respect that in terms of our risk management and marketing plans. But, and then these export markets, I think, will be one of the keys in 2017. Can we continue to build on the foundation of the second half of 16 will be very important across all species. And if we can export the pork and chicken, that's also going to feed back positively in the beef side.
How big of a wild card is this change from the Obama administration to the Trump administration? Some of the talk, regarding trade and him wanting to back away, the president-elect wanting to back away from TPP. How worrisome is that for our meat exports?
Well, I think it's more of a long-term story than a short-term story. A lot of this short-term meat exports really is growing incomes overseas. The president doesn't have much to do with that. And the value of the dollar, the president does have some to do with that, but we've been swimming against a stronger dollar doing pretty well in the last couple months. So I think these are more longer-term issues than short-term, but they're important to the industry, and we'll see how it shakes out.
At this point, when we start looking at the health of the industry overall, what sort of a overall grade would you give the well-being of our beef cattle business here in January 2017?
Well, I think compared to January, let's say 2014, we slipped from kind of an A, about as good as it can get as that unfolded over the next several months. Probably down to, if we look in a long-term context, probably to a C. More normal. We had those producers that, respected the market and maybe saved a little bit back or, will come through this. And those that are doing good pencil pushing, in a cow-calf sense, come 2018's not that far away. I think planning now will pay off in the next few years because I think the biggest part of the adjustments are behind us.
I would think that what we're talking about at this point, the guys that are those low-cost producers, if you like to call them that, those are the ones that are going to be in the best shape. That almost goes without saying, doesn't it?
It really does. And, if we look at the long term of this industry for decades, that's been a big part of the story is cost containment, doing things right, getting back to fundamental business management. And for a couple of years there, for a few years, we were kind of swimming downstream. If you waited to sell animals, if you didn't need much of a marketing plan, things just worked out rather well. We still have larger beef supplies ahead, more pork and chicken. So we're swimming upstream. Much of this industry has always been swimming upstream, but it takes more management and more effort in that environment. And planning and just waiting for prices to help you out probably isn't going to be a good long-term management plan for the next couple of years. But this is a cyclical industry. Producers recognize that. And again, in a long-term cow-calf sense, it's not too early to begin doing some planning of where I want to be in a few years because this will turn.
One last question, Jim, and that kind of is that, maybe thinking a little bit outside the box of just, talking numbers, absolute numbers. The industry has really changed in a lot of ways as far as the technology that's available to us, the genomics, the way we've rebuilt this herd with probably better quality cows than we had before the drought. How do all these factors figure in to where we are in the beef cattle industry today?
Well, in some ways, you take that longer term perspective. We had some opportunities to invest in the industry with the high cattle prices that we had a few years ago, improving some of our production practices, management systems, working facilities. you know, really setting up. And so, you know, we did get a nice boost. You know, it was tough in the Southern Plains coming out of the drought. I think we've kind of normalized to a lot of that. But there are new technologies, as you said, and these things going on. Even changing market structures are really an opportunity. You know, we look ahead to this year and next year, probably in the summer of 17, probably these summer grazing programs will work better than they did in 2014 and 2015. The cow-calf sector, so as we mix and match here, I think there will be opportunities, but they'll be a little bit changed from just a couple of years ago where I just really wanted to sell calves. There's going to be more opportunities to maybe do some other things that could, you know, keep me still fairly optimistic. You know, again, you and I have been around long enough, Ron, to see these ups and downs come in the past, and we are in a down phase right now, but they don't last forever.
You mentioned the ways we can sell cattle. One thing that's kind of an infant right now. We've obviously had the numbers of cattle trading for cash on the fat cattle market, finished cattle market, way down. And we've got this new tool that's out there now, that's the online trading with Fed Cattle Exchange. You know, are those kind of things? Is that going to be where we're going to discover prices?
I think these platforms that facilitate that in the electronic world are really part of the future, Ron. And I think you hit on, you know, one of the important things that sort of did happen in 2016 was that Fed Cattle Exchange. And how these markets are going to evolve are going to be somewhat more dependent on those types of approaches than we've had in the past.
Thank you, Jim. Jim Robb of the Livestock Market Information Center, based out of Denver. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.